God bless you this afternoon. It's a little different seeing the room from this side. Table four, I got to represent. That's my table. But sometimes I abandon them and go to table five. But either way it go, we're all one big family in here. It's a blessing to be able to be here on this afternoon to share my testimony. A lot of you all see me running around in the building with my shorts on and my sweats and my duds, as I call them. And so I thought today that I would put my collar on to let you all see the other side of Zoe. But to every man's glory, there's a story. You see me how I am in my clergy, but I haven't always been this way. I want to first thank and praise God for being the head of my life. Thank Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank Him for the Holy Ghost that resides within me. I also praise and I thank God for my wife who is not here, the love that she has shown me down through the years and the compassion that she gives me each and every day. She's truly my pillar of strength. And I thank her, my five children, Jetney and Antoni, Anthony and Alana and Zoe. Thank God for my pastor being here this afternoon, Pastor A. Wendell Brown, Refreshing Springs Church of God in Christ. Thank God for the president of our men, Elder Andre Brown, all the brothers that are here on this afternoon. I can continue to call names. It would go without saying that I praise and I thank God for my twin, Dave Du Bois. We share the same birthday, so that's my twin. My brother from another mother, but we had the same father. I thank God for just the work that He has done in my life. I came into this room this afternoon and I looked around. Every week I do the same survey. And when I look around this room, there's one word that comes to mind. That one word is transform. Because on a daily basis, I work here at the YMCA. I'm the director for the teen center, shameless plug. But every day, just about, I'm in this room, running up and down this court with the teenage boys, sometimes girls. And I see how we can take a gymnasium and transform it into a place of worship. Transform it into a place where we can glorify God, magnify God, lift up His name. And not only that, with a room full of men. It's amazing because sometimes I think we tend to forget that God has ordained and He called us to be the head. And if it began with the men, it will trickle down to the family. If it trickles down to the family, it will go out into the church. If it goes into the church, it would go out into the community. If it goes into that community, it will go into the county. If it goes to the county, it will go to the state. The state, it will go to the world. So it starts here. This is my testimony. I was born and raised in a Christian environment. My mother has been saved since 1959. She's been under the same pastor since 1960. And I think around about the age of about 15, I just began to be rebellious. I don't want this church stuff. It's not for me. And, you know, so guys that have teenage sons or daughters that are going through their rebellious stage, just take a good look at me. I'm a handsome young man. I'm standing up here today with a clergy collar on, and God has changed my life, so there is hope. Keep praying and don't give up on them, because I know of many of nights, the only thing that kept me alive was I had a praying mother, and I had a praying father, and I had a praying church home that did not give up on me. Did they look at me kind of cross-eyed and googly-eyed when I came and visited sometime, Chuck? Oh, yeah. that's that little Smith boy, man. He out there doing something. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm going to pray for him. So I encourage you, continue to pray. But I went into a rebellious stage about 15. And I had the spirit of Frank Sinatra to just indwell itself and engulf me up. You know, he sung a song, and I know I'm a young lad. He said, I did it my way. And I thought that I could do it my way. So for the next 15 years, hey, Mike, I traveled down a road of destruction. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. Even though my parents tried to hide me from the life of the streets, the spirit of sin took me to a place where I had a desire and a yearning for that thing. So I went out and I tasted that thing. And sin drugged me in. There was a young man here. And I could not remember who it was, but maybe somebody could help me. But he said something that was very profound, and I wrote it down, and I brought it in my notes on today. It simply says, sin will take you where you don't want to go and keep you there longer than you want to be there. That's what sin would do. I went down this road. I began gangbanging, toting pistols. Didn't rob nobody, but a couple of people wanted to rob me because I began to indulge in the drug world. I began to live a life of destruction, not to just myself, but to the community as well. I was one that some of you in here would have locked me up. Some of you in here would have been my public defender. Some of you in here would have laid the gavel down on my life. That was the life that I lived. And guess what? I lived that life to the fullest because God was not present. In 1996, there was a tragic incident that took place in Kokomo, Indiana. In 1996, on May the 4th, the sin that was in me caused me to pull a .357 out and shoot an individual. Not because this was something that I chose to do, not because it was something that I wanted to do, but it was because of the sin that was in my life. You see, we always think that we have a fix on life. We always think that we can change when we want to change. The drug addicts say that, oh, I can get off drugs anytime. Why do I know that? Because I too once was a drug addict. The alcoholic says that, oh, I can get off alcohol anytime. It's no big deal. Why can I say that? Because I too at one time was an alcoholic. The fornicator will say, well, I don't have to fornicate any longer. Why can I say that? Because I too once was a fornicator. But here it is. Without God, we can do nothing. Let me say that again. Without God, we can do nothing. And we are nothing. No matter how much we have, no matter how much we can gain in this world, without God, we're nothing. Like a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. My life took me down a dark road. I was sentenced to 30 years. The Indiana State Prison. 30 years in 1996. And I know you guys right now are adding it in your head. Sentenced to 30 years, so that means that the presumptive time that I would have to serve was 15 years to the Department of Correction. Somebody's still adding it. They're saying, well, Zoe, if you were sentenced to 15 years, what in the world are you doing standing up here right now? My out date was 2011. I've been home since 2004. Not because of anything that Zoe did, but because of what God did in my life. In 1996, while I was at Howard County, I had a brother. And in 1995, I had to go to Sacramento, California and get him because my brother was dying from full-blown AIDS because of the choices that he made in life to choose to live a homosexual lifestyle. He was dying from full-blown AIDS. On May the 20th, he died while I was yet incarcerated. His funeral was the 27th, and I will never forget the 26th is when I went down on my knees. And I said, Lord, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've heard my mother speak about you. I've been raised in church and I've heard them talk about the testimonies of how good God is and what he can do. But I made up in my mind that day, you know what? I want you to show me who you are. Not going on what somebody else said. Just show me who you are. With my eyes closed, where I was in Howard County Jail. How many have ever been in a room with their eyes closed and it was dark and you can feel when someone flicked the light on? I felt the light and it was a great light. The light was so powerful until I was afraid to open my eyes. I thought if I opened my eyes, I probably would be blinded. That's how great that light was. Later on, when I began to study the Word of God, I found out that this same thing had happened to someone else on the road of Damascus. Very interesting, because he too reminded me of myself. He was a murderer. He was a thief. And he thought he was doing it all for the glory. But that great light came. And when that great light came, it was good enough for me. I knew then that God is who he says that he is. I knew then that this is not a joke. This is not some hoax. This is not some woo spooky ghost thing or story. He's real. I accepted him in my life. And I said, God, I will run for you for the rest of my life because you have proven to me this day that you are who you say you are. So I only challenge someone that's out there today. You don't have to take my testimony. You don't have to take what I'm saying. Try God for yourself. Challenge him just the way that I did. Say, if you really are who that man up there at Huddle today was saying that you are, show me. And I guarantee you, not only will he show up, but he will show out. I accepted him. After a world of crime, after a world of hatred, after a world where I was destroying myself as a drug addict, an alcoholic, after a world where I was going around laying with women, after a world where I was putting pistols in people's faces, after a world where I was a gangbanger, taking it upon myself to say what was territorial to me, after a world of such, he remembered that he sent his only begotten son to save a wretch. Wow. Like me. Wow. Wow. A wretch like me. Somebody that society just basically threw away. What good is he to society? People often ask, well, how did you even get in a small little town like Kokomo? And a lot of times we can have an elephant in the room and don't even talk about it. We know that there's problems in Kokomo with drugs. And it's the out-of-state boys that bring it here. And I was one of them, destroying the community. I could have went back to Chicago when they released me. But why? God told me, the same community that you destroy, you go back and you build it back up. You're not going to run away from this thing. And right now, today, some of the teenagers that come to my program, I can remember feeding their parents the drugs, getting into it with their fathers. I can remember it like it was yesterday. But God has commissioned me to come back and build up what you destroyed. You can tear it down, you can build it up. That's my commission. This huddle program, man, it's grand. We're in here, and that's great. But the greatest time that I had here was on last year, where the brother stood here and said, we can talk all day, but until we take some action, all the talk is worthless. And we walked out of here and went over to the courtroom and held hands and we prayed. That's what we need, man. It was a Wednesday afternoon. I was right across the street filling out an application for a job. And you guys were in here in your huddle meeting, didn't even know I was across the street. And I just so happened to have to use the restroom. And they said they didn't have a public restroom. You can go to the YMCA or you can go to the library. I chose to come to the YMCA just to use the restroom. And ran into Casey, who had been hounding me for about 3 years to come and work with Bridges. But it wasn't time. And when I ran into Casey, I told him what was going on. And he said, you know what? They need somebody at the Y to take a position upstairs. It's not permanent position, it's a part-time position. And that's when I met Dave. When I met Dave, I told him about my life. I told him about what I've been through, because I don't like leaving something for somebody to find out later. I'm going to tell you where I've been, and I'm going to tell you who I am, and I'm also tell you where I'm going. Cut and dry. And I look around this room and I see love. I see friendship. I see men that are on fire for God. But I also see me. Individuals who are yet struggling with giving their lives totally to Christ. I challenge you today. Don't allow sin to take you where I've already been. You may think because I live in a suburban community or a community that's middle class that it can't happen to me. It can happen. Once again, there's an elephant in the room, but no one wants to talk about it. Crystal meth in your community. Maybe a lab right next door to you. Child pornography in your community, maybe right next door to you. Child abuse in your community, right next door to you. Battering your wives, battering, beating in your communities might be right next door to you. Struggling with pornography, struggling with alcohol, struggling with drugs. Oh, we can put on a face. We can come out of the house, look at me. I'm okay. I was a drug addict. My best customer. But I wore the finest of clothes every day. I'll never forget on Valentine's Day in 1996, brand new Cherokee coming right off the lot. So when you looked at me, Pastor Paul said it today. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. On the outside, I was doing okay. Had money in my pocket, had plenty of honeys. I could buy anything that I wanted. All with that corrupt, nasty, blood-drenched money. But I could still do it. You would look at me and you would think that, oh, he's okay. And I fooled so many people in this community and in Chicago because I kept myself clean, clean shave, smooth hair, little preppy dresser. I wasn't one of those that walked around with my pants hanging down. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you see him, you automatically stereotype him and say he must be a drug dealer because he's black and his pants is hanging down. So I was already smart enough to say, you know what, Ron, I ain't walking around like that. Put on my little preppy clothes and had my little leather jacket on, and I didn't put rims on my truck or anything, just drove it plain. I didn't have all that loud sound of music going in my car, just turned it down because I was trying to stay low key and drive under the radar. But yet and still, I was one of the biggest drug dealers here in Kokomo. And one of the biggest drug addicts here in Kokomo. Wasn't until my mother heard my testimony that she even knew that I was a drug addict as I was. And I share this because I know what God can do. He's a transforming God. He's a merciful God. He's a renewing God. He's a God that looks at our hearts, and if our hearts are saying, God, take me away. I know that we've been brainwashed to Calgon, take me away, but God, take me away. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of having to come out every day and taking a different route because I'm so afraid that somebody's trying to rob me. You know, sin is not all cracked up to be what we think it's to be. Selling drugs wasn't easy. You got to watch your back every day. Somebody going to cut you. Somebody going to rob you. Somebody going to come in your house and try and take everything you got. Then you got to watch the police too. Then the drug addicts come and they give you $5 and they say it was $20. So now you're mad at them. What do I do? It wasn't easy, man. Wasn't easy at all. But when I made that choice to let Jesus into my heart, things began to change. Has it always been easy, brothers? No. And it's not going to always be easy. Here's what we have to understand. If we do not have bad days, we will not know how to appreciate our good days. So our bad days are there to teach us, to learn us how to appreciate our good days. I've had some good and bad. When I was released, I came home, and I mean, I was struggling, man. I was struggling. I was struggling. Couldn't find a job. Why? Because as soon as you wrote on that application that you had been incarcerated, what you've been incarcerated for, you stereotyped. But you know what? I didn't let that change me, man. I let that motivate me because I'm going to keep going on. I'm going to keep doing what I got to do. I laid in my bed. I will never forget. And I told my wife, all it will take is for me to pick up my phone and dial 10 digits. And I can have a kilo of cocaine right at my front steps. But that wasn't my choice any longer. My choice was to serve God. My choice was to take those struggles, cry my tears, and then dry my weeping eyes and press on. Because I ate this word for 8 years, 7 months, 9 days, 9 hours, and 33 minutes. I ate it, and I'm still eating it because I love the taste of it. And I knew that Brother Paul had said over in Philippians, I press toward the mark of a higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. See, I don't worry about what I'm going through right here on this earth because I know that my reward is in heaven waiting on me. I don't worry about how people may look at me. You don't know me. You see my glory, but you don't know nothing about my story, man. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've been through. So you can talk about me just as much as you please. The song say, the more you talk, I'm going to stay on my knees. Because I got a job to do. And my job is to change lives. That God, through me, can transform lives. When we leave here this afternoon, it will probably take every bit of 10 minutes. Tables will be up, chairs will be up, everything will be in that room, and this will once again be a place that you can recreate. So the same way that they can clean this room, brothers, let's clean our hearts. And I praise and I thank God for allowing me to be an instrument. Not an object, but an instrument. Because an object is just something that we can see. We can say, how fine is that bottle? We can look at that thing. But an instrument is something that God can use. The trumpet can stay there and it won't be worth anything. No music will come out of it till someone picks it up and breathes life into that thing. This is me. This is my testimony. My name is Alonzo Smith. And I asked my mother as I end, when I was about 6, why is it that all of the rest of my siblings, because I come from a family of 10, and I'm number 9, why is it the rest of my brothers and sisters have middle names, but I don't? She simply said, son, because your name and what it means did not even need a supporting name. Alonzo is for mighty and warrior. I did not really take that to heart until I was sitting in a cell. And I realized that God had appointed me to be his mighty warrior. So I am God's mighty warrior. My name is Alonzo Smith, better known as Zoe, and I approve this message. God bless you. You guys silly, man.